You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Wisconsin has the highest rate of drunken driving in the country. According to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, alcohol-related crashes killed 223 people in the state and injured almost 3,000 in the year 2012. In that same year, approximately 36% of all fatal traffic accidents in the state were alcohol-related.
One option for courts in these cases, repeat drunken drivers can be required to install an ignition interlock device. It requires the driver to blow into a tube to start a vehicle, something like a breathalyzer. If the driver has a blood alcohol content greater than the pre-programmed level, the vehicle won't start. Most models also require random retests as the vehicle's being driven.
But a new investigation into ignition interlock devices, known as IIDs, shows that only 56% of those required by the courts are being installed in Wisconsin. Adam Schrager is with us now to talk about his investigation. He's an investigative reporter for WISC-TV. Adam, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what kind of information were you looking for in this investigation into ignition interlock devices?
So this all started for me, as any, I'm sure you know this too, Veronica, you get emails from law enforcement agencies all the time, and they come kind of routinely every night, every morning, and I had noticed when people would pull over repeat drunk drivers, so people with second, third, fourth, fifth, and on OWIs, there was a little line in there that would talk about how they had been cited also for not having an ignition interlock device or an IID. And I started asking about what this was about. I knew these kind of sobriety machines where you have to blow in order to actually start the car. And I was wondering, you know, I mean, it's one of the most effective tools to stopping drunk driving, with the exception of not drinking and getting behind the wheel in the first place. And why weren't these being used?
And so you wanted to find out, you know, what was going on with the reason why IIDs, ignition interlock devices, were not being used. So how did you get at that question? How did you gather your information?
I asked the Department of Transportation, and they provided data. They don't have clear data from 2011, but they have data from 2012 forward. And so what I was able to get from them was the number of times a court had issued an order for a vehicle to be outfitted with an IID, and then the number of times that they actually had been outfitted with an IID.
Well, let's get to that result. What did you find?
So we found that in that time frame, judges had ordered 54,329 to be installed on convicted offenders' vehicles, and 30,756, or roughly 56%, had been installed. So you're looking at roughly half have not.
Right, that's a big disconnect. So I guess the question is, why are almost half of these devices not being installed when it's been ordered by a court?
No one's checking. It's about as simple an answer as I can give you. A court issues this order, and then it just sits there on a driver's abstract. And it's important to point out, too, a lot of these folks have had their licenses suspended as well. So they're driving with suspended licenses in addition to not having an ignition interlock device on their car. And we don't hear about these people unless and until there's another incident where they're either arrested or they've gotten into an accident. So these people are potentially on the roads every single day in the state of Wisconsin.
So once a court orders a person to get an IID, what is the process then of installing the IID?
So there are a number of companies that provide this service, that contract with the State Department of Transportation to provide this service to offenders. They're located all over the state. And an offender literally has to take their car in. It takes a couple of hours to hook this device up to their car. And then every 60 days or so, they have to come back in. So the data from that device is uploaded into a computer, which is then sent to the court. So it's very labor-intensive. There's a cost associated with it as well. But judges are issuing these sentences. Clearly, the state has sent a message from the legislature to the governor to the judges themselves now that they want these devices installed. They want this as a way to prevent drunk driving in the state of Wisconsin. It's just not happening.
So presumably no one's saying, look, you can't have your car back until this is installed.
Correct. No one is saying that. And frankly, I mean, we spoke with a Beloit police sergeant who's done traffic for 27 years, and he said the analogy he gave was, look, if you're sentenced to parole, you have to speak with your parole officer. If you're sentenced to jail, you have to go to jail. If you're sentenced to prison, you have to go to prison. And if you don't, there's a warrant issued for your arrest, and they get you, and then they put you in prison. And yet, when you're issued an order to get an IID, who checks? No one.
Is it supposed to be anyone's job and it's just not enforced, or is there literally no mechanism for checking in place?
There's literally no mechanism. If you think about it, it would cost a significant amount of money. There's a resource issue at stake here as well, where somebody would physically have to check. And there are a number of ways to do this. And this is a problem it's important to mention that's not unique to Wisconsin. This is happening all over the country. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which is arguably one of the biggest proponents of IIDs across the country, says that states that do particularly well with this are still only looking at 60 to 65% participation. So it's just from a resource standpoint, you can certainly ask the question, what is government going to do? What could they do? Are the resources there to literally watch over these people who have been sentenced to install these in their cars?
What are the consequences if you're someone who's supposed to have an ignition interlock device in your car and you don't and you get pulled over?
And that's really, it's a citation. It's a traffic citation. And that's what Senator Van Wongard at the Capitol had been trying to basically bulk that up and say you're going to have to face more serious fines. Potentially, if you're a repeat offender at this, you could go to jail for this. That bill passed out of a Senate committee. It's before the full Senate right now, but the State Assembly is adjourned for the year, so that measure doesn't look like it's going anywhere for the rest of the year.
We're talking with Adam Schrager right now. He's an investigative reporter for WISC-TV, talking about his investigation into the use of ignition interlock devices, how often they're actually being installed when they are ordered by a court. The answer, not very often, roughly half the time. And you mentioned MAD being a big proponent of IIDs, and that the states that have the best luck with this also do the most enforcing. What kind of enforcing do they do?
Well, they're basically one of the things that MAD had pushed in other states nationwide was this idea of, instead of waiting for the court to actually issue this sentence, if you had somebody who had been arrested for an OWI, they could voluntarily take the IID immediately and not wait for the sentence, which, as we all know, the court system sometimes can take a long time. So maybe you're waiting 6 months, maybe you're waiting a year, maybe you have your license suspended, and then you're after that 6 month waiting period, so then you're waiting a year and a half before you're supposed to install this ignition interlock device. They've had success in states where they've actually sped up the process. So an offender can basically self-punish, if you will, and request to put this IID on their car or on their whatever vehicle they're driving sooner rather than later, and that has increased its usage nationwide.
How accepted are IIDs in Wisconsin? Do they have is there anyone out there who's against the use of these things?
No, interestingly enough, certainly the offenders who have to use them will talk about they're unwieldy, they can cost a certain amount of money at times. Basically, they can stop a car from running at 0.02 blood alcohol content. So you're looking at potentially, if you've used hand sanitizer, it could potentially set this thing off. So people will talk about, at times, the unwieldy nature of them. And yet, they continue to be issued as sentences by judges across the state. So clearly there's a sign from the judicial system taking the direction of the legislative system to go ahead and use these as sentences for offenders.
Now, for your investigation, you talked to a police sergeant from Beloit. What did he have to say?
He was talking about how they're seeing, interestingly enough right now, fewer first-time offenders but more repeat offenders, which would lead one to wonder. And at the end of the day, too, you have to ask yourself, if somebody's a repeat offender, stopping them from drinking and driving is an important component, obviously, but at the same point, you want to get to the medical issue of why somebody continues to do this. And yet there's not much of an oversight. And he was saying the frustrating thing for them is, you know, you'll pull somebody over. They just recently in Beloit pulled somebody over on an alleged 10th OWI, and their officers are shaking their heads saying, why is this person behind the wheel in the first place?
And did he give you any indication about what kind of legislation police departments might like to see?
I think they would certainly like to see fewer drunk drivers on the roads in Wisconsin. It's an accident in many cases just waiting to happen. Uniformly, you'll see officers around the state will set up patrols and get grant money in an effort to get drunk drivers off the roads. But at the they're beholden to the laws of the land. And right now, they can be sentenced to you're not allowed to drive. They could suspend an offender's license. They could require an IID to be installed. And yet no one's checking on either of those two things to make sure that somebody's not getting behind the wheel.
Now, you mentioned that other states have this in place, some more successfully than others. How does Wisconsin measure up in terms of that statistic of installation rates?
It's kind of in the middle of the pack. As I mentioned, even the best states are not looking at anything more than 65% or so installation. It's a very big brother type of enforcement were people to go down this road. And Senator Weingart at the Capitol had actually proposed legislation also to transfer. Right now, the sentence goes to any vehicle that an offender might own. So if you are an offender and you have two cars registered in your name, you are required to have an IID on each of those cars. Offenders have been getting around that by simply driving other people's cars. So what the legislation he had also proposed at the state capitol was to shift that responsibility from the vehicle to the individual's driver's license. So no matter what vehicle they would get behind the wheel of, if they were a convicted offender who had been sentenced to receive an IID, they could not drive any car, any vehicle, without this IID, whether it was registered in their name or not.
And that proposal from Wenger made it out of committee, it sounds like, and then died in the Assembly. Do you have any sense of what the future for that bill might be?
Well, it didn't necessarily die in the Assembly. It's just stuck.
It didn't
right
get taken up.
In legislative
right.
purgatory, if you will. It's standing before the full state Senate, where Senator Wenger expects it to pass. But since the state Assembly is not committed to coming back for the rest of the year, that, too, will just kind of sit there.
Is he optimistic about prospects for it in the future?
I think everybody, you'd probably have to ask him for his true assessment of where that legislation stands. I think everybody involved in the process, you're seeing legislation right now before the governor to make more repeat drunk driving offenses, a fourth-time offense, a felony, and increase some of the fines. It seems like there's sentiment at the Capitol to increase penalties for repeat offenders. Whether this is rolled into that in the future, we'll have to see.
Adam, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Veronica. I appreciate your time.
That was Adam Schrager, investigative reporter for WISC-TV. He joined us to talk about his investigation into ignition interlock devices in Wisconsin.